Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
And now, is there any clarity right now in the tense situation in Turkey as the week begins? An unsuccessful coup in which 265 people died has become a huge backlash against the rule of law in Turkey. The president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, is an Islamist who mobilized his support on the street to put down the coup that we all watched in real time over the weekend, then sacked thousands of people in the military and the police force, and finally targeted the judicial branch. Hours after the coup, 2,745 judges were removed by the Turkish government, setting the stage for a possible dismantling of the constitution. And the whole matter has become a wedge in U.S.-Turkish relations, as Erdogan has accused 75-year-old Fethullah Gulen, an Islamic cleric living in exile in Pennsylvania, of directing the failed coup, and has demanded that he be extradited back to Turkey. Kim Lane Shepley is a professor of international affairs at Princeton University, specializing in Turkey.
Well, Mr. Erdogan has been making Mr. Gulen the villain of his regime ever since they had a break. So it's not surprising that he's actually going to accuse Mr. Gulen of having fomented the coup. The problem is, of course, that no one can actually tell based on any evidence that's public now. So, you know, this puts the U.S. in a very difficult situation because the U.S. needs Turkey in NATO. It needs Turkey in particular because the U.S. is using a Turkish airbase to launch its airstrikes in Iraq and Syria. And so if Mr. Erdogan is going to make cooperation with the U.S. contingent on extraditing Mr. Gulen, this puts the U.S. in a very difficult spot.
Which may be exactly what Mr. Erdogan wants, regardless of this particular incident. Is there a pattern, as you can tell, in the sackings that are taking place, the people who are being either arrested or dismissed from government service?
Yes. Well, one of the things that you see is after the coup was neutralized, immediately the government moved to fire almost 3,000 judges. It's 2,745 judges and prosecutors. Now, you don't actually come up with a list that's that long within minutes after a coup is over. So they must have had a list of judges and prosecutors, also a list of military people. They're going very systematically through the people that they thought were connected already to Mr. Gulen. So they had a story even before the coup started about where their threats were coming from. And now their purges are actually acting out that scenario. So one of the difficulties is that none of us can really tell without knowing what they know, whether this threat was actually the one that materialized or whether the threat came from somewhere else. But what you see now is that Mr. Erdogan is engaged in a massive purge of the military and of the judiciary, which were the two institutions most likely to stand up to him. So against a broader background, this really also can look very much like an attempt to create a kind of plebiscitary dictatorship in Turkey.
Why target the judiciary after a coup? That wouldn't seem like one of the top suspects.
Right, exactly. And there seems to be no evidence that the judiciary was actually out on the streets or in the tanks or anything of that kind. But the judiciary traditionally in Turkey has upheld the Turkish constitution. And the Turkish constitution is relentlessly secularist. In fact, one of the reasons why Mr. Erdogan's party has had the kind of trajectory it's had is that all of the prior Islamist parties before his were dissolved by actions of the Constitutional Court. So the judiciary is very much pledged to a vision of Turkey that Mr. Erdogan doesn't share. And so it would not be surprising, and in fact, over the long time that he's been in power, he's been trying repeatedly to remake the judiciary in his image. And I'm afraid the coup gives him the chance to now finalize that takeover.
What seems to be the top priority of President Erdogan? Is it consolidating power around him as a dictator, or is it some ideological opposition to secularism and modernism in Turkey?
Well, it's a two-faced campaign. So one thing I think that's most dominant in his mind is that he really believes that he is the savior of modern Turkey. And he thinks of himself as someone who can restore the role of religion to public life. So there is a kind of ideological component. But it's very hard to know how much that ideological component really drives him or whether that's the thing that actually mobilizes the masses to come out onto the streets to defend him. He's shown a pretty relentless drive toward eliminating all other sources of power in the state. And so that's the thing that many of us are worried about when we watch the way he's engaged in these purges after the coup, because obviously they're working from lists they had before the coup. No one can sit down and make up a list of 2,745 judges just off the top of their head. So this is obviously playing into a broader plan they have for consolidation of power, I think.
Kim Lane Shepley is a professor of international affairs at Princeton University. Thanks so much, Kim.
Thank you.